This is the Engage Your Destiny podcast, serving our active military, veterans, and families. Welcome to the show, where your destiny is our mission. Hello and welcome to the Engage Your Destiny podcast, serving our military, veterans, and their families. Friends, your destiny is our mission. Coming to you live here from Nashville, this is Ben Peterson and my bride, Rachel. We have been going through a book called The Power of a Praying Spouse, and it has been radically impacting our marriage, our lives, our prayer lives, and we're just really excited to talk to you guys about it, specifically on the topic of fear. So I am so blessed to have my bride next to me, Rachel. So glad to have you on the show.
Oh, it's so good to be here.
It's been a minute.
It has, but I've just been thoroughly enjoying everything I've been hearing because I've been listening, and the last one with you and Sylvester was so, so good.
Yeah, go back to that one, guys. We get deep, yeah. Uncomfortably deep.
Yeah, like on a lot of big things. Oh, so good.
Yeah, that was fun. So, you know, one of the things that I think was really powerful in reading, you know, this last chapter about fear, and I want to give a little endorsement here. If you aren't praying in your marriage and you want a roadmap and how you can be praying in your marriage and making an impact there, it's The Power of a Praying Husband and The Power of a Praying Wife. Those are the two books, right? So obviously, if you're one or the other, get the other. And if you're married, just buy both and just do what we're doing and go through it.
And if you're a parent, there's The Power of a Praying Parent.
There you go.
Yeah.
Works for all of them. But, you know, I remember I was in Alaska and I was meeting with some chaplains and we were talking about, you know, the challenges of marriage. And I remember just one of the chaplains there just said, hey, are you, Ben, I'm just feel led to ask you, are you praying for your marriage on a daily basis? And I looked at him and I just said, no, I'm not. And he goes, that needs to change. And if you want your marriage to be at the height and the place that you're dreaming it could be, prayer is your path to get there. And that has been a game-changing conversation. So this book has been giving me a lot of insight. And, you know, we've talked about sex. We've talked about, you know, understanding her desires or the things that women carry. It's very different how their minds work, different animals than we are, different beasts, if you would say. But, you know, this has been a real impactful chapter when it comes to fear. And I think we all get attacked with fear in different ways. And so we want to unpack a little bit some of the ways that women get attacked with fear and some of the ways that men get attacked with fear. And so, you know, Rachel, you brought up something really powerful to me that I had never even thought about, and it has to do with safety. So talk to me about that. Like, I mean, I never think about being safe, ever, you know? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so one of the things that I would say almost every single woman thinks about is safety out in public. And I remember I was at a conference and there was probably 2,000 people there. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this very thing. And they asked, you know, how many men today, how many men have feared for their safety today? And it was like 2 p.m. or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Not one hand went up.
And if there was one, they wouldn't raise their hand.
I asked that same question. So women, how many of you have thought about your safety, feared your safety, just have been cognizant that you are vulnerable? Every single woman's hand went up.
Yeah, mind blown.
And it's something that even if you are, you know, trained, even if you are, say you carry, whatever, it's still, you're carrying for a reason. Mm-hmm. So even the women who are trained in self-defense for themselves are still wildly aware that they're trained for a reason.
Yeah.
That something can happen. And you just turn on the news and you hear about, you know, I just saw an article the other day, some guy running over a mom and her baby in her stroller. And you're like, the evil, like the crazy. So there's, you know, women worry about, you know, especially if their mom getting sick, like, or somebody breaking into the house. Anytime you travel, it's like, oh my gosh, somebody going to break in.
Yeah.
It's like, they know you're gone.
Yeah. Because, you know, because your husband's not there.
Right. Yeah. It's just something that, you know, God, you know, made Adam and he said, it's not good for him to be alone, but it's like he made Eve for Adam. Adam was there with her.
Yeah.
Eve didn't have to be alone. She wasn't designed to be alone.
Rachel, tell that story when you were out walking Dakota in Arizona, and that meth addict followed you into your apartment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you lived in a nice area. You were working in medical device sales.
Yep, one of the nicest areas.
You're a career sales gal crushing it. And what happened?
So I lived in a condo, and I had a dog, so I had to go outside and walk him. And this is a family neighborhood. Never in my wildest dreams would I have ever thought, you know, anything could happen. And so my guard was down. I did have a full sense of security for sure. But I had recently moved in, and I took him for a walk, and it was summer, so I was in shorts and a little tank top. And I come home, and I was waiting for the maintenance men. I had maintenance men that were supposed to come. Something, you know, was broken. And so I, the door was unlocked, and I was expecting them at any moment. And all of a sudden, I'm in the back room, and the door opened, and I had Dakota. He was
a beast.
He was in like 80-pound rescue who had been through some stuff. So he was protected.
He was trauma bonded to you.
He was trauma bonded for sure. And thank God. That's just why I love animals. They're just gifts from God. And he was an angel. And so, you know, it's this new dog. He was probably a year old, maybe two, because I got him a little bit older. And so I had kept him on a leash because he just wasn't friendly to people. And I was like, I don't want him to attack the maintenance man.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't holding the leash. And I hear the door open and somebody walks in. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to murder the maintenance man. And so he runs out there and he's going nuts. And he has this big, deep, you know, I mean, terrifying growl. And so I'm chasing after him. And then all of a sudden I get around the corner and he has this guy pinned against the front door, and it's not the maintenance guy. Yeah. It is very much strung out, you know, edgy. I don't even think he had shoes on, but his eyes looked dead.
Yeah.
You know, and he was startled. He was not expecting this. He was expecting maybe like a yellow lab or a golden retriever, because Dakota was a mix. And so thankfully, Dakota had pushed him outside. And so he was half in, half out at this point.
Yeah.
And seeing the situation, I just backed up and I did not tell Dakota no, I did not, stop him. And I, just navigated the situation.
Sure.
And
but you had a guy, a strung out dude, come into your condo.
Yeah, and if Dakota wasn't there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then what?
Then what?
And I think that this is so interesting because, you know, what is really in my heart for this message right now that we want to get across is that prayer brings about understanding. It moves heaven and earth, requests are made, all those kinds of things. But one of the gifts of prayer is you gain understanding. If I sit and have a conversation with my wife and I talk to her and I listen, I'm going to understand her better. When I pray and I pray to God, he gives me understanding into things. And so what we want to do as men, for the men that are listening to this, is that we want to gain understanding about our wives so we can love them more, so we can protect them more, so we can gain intimacy with them more. Into me see, right? I want you to see into me and who I am. And as we gain understanding of what fears your wife or your spouse or girlfriend might be dealing with, is that she has fears around her personal safety. And that is a huge deal for you to be thinking about. And she's going to feel more loved when you think about her safety, right? Mm-hmm. Rachel, what does it feel like when I'm thinking about our safety and you haven't even thought about it? What's that like for you?
It definitely lets me relax a little bit. And it's a love language for me personally. And with women, I mean, you can't put all women in a box.
Sure.
They're way too complex. Some people think about this more. Some people think about it less. But it's just awareness of taking care of somebody. Just like, you know, I would say, you know, I've heard men feel loved through their tummies. So by food.
Mm.
Is one of your love languages food?
Yeah, when you feed me, I feel loved.
Yeah. Yep. So it's like when I'm thinking about, okay, What's for dinner? Yeah. Yep. What's for dinner? What am I going to get grocery shopping? What is he like? When I'm thinking about that, what do you feel?
Feel loved.
Yeah. So when you think about, I want to make sure the alarm system is good or whatever it is that you're thinking about, like it's filling a cup.
And it's important.
Yeah.
So now drilling down a little bit more to those everyday fears, because, you know, in this book, Stormy really talks about like fears of insignificance, fears of not being enough, of fears of not being beautiful enough, fears of, career and unrealized dreams. And like, so there's things that we have like an actual fear of attacking us, but then we have the more kind of higher level fears that have to do with our identity, mm-hmm. right? So can you kind of speak to help maybe some male listeners, right? What are some of the fears that you deal with or that women deal with, right? That have to do with what's internal and that we may not understand as men or think about.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the first one that just came up, so I'm going to share it, is just the fear of not being loved, by our spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much out in the world. There's so much glitter.
Yeah.
That I think some men miss the gold that they have.
Mm.
And, you hear about diamond in a rough, and it's usually meant for the guy. He's rough and you gotta chip away to get that diamond. But it's like, a spouse, a marriage is just gold and it's refined by fire. It doesn't mean it's easy, but if you value it, it will produce, 10 times that investment.
Wow. So fear of not being loved because there's so much comparison and there's so much access to so much more information today.
Yeah.
And things on the internet and stuff.
I mean,
like that.
Here's the thing. Like I could go on Instagram. I could go on TikTok. I could go anywhere right now and scroll. And instantly, subconsciously, I'm looking at other people's lives, other people's marriages, other people's relationships, other people's homes and incomes and all these things. And so we have to really guard ourselves. As a woman, I'm responsible to guard myself so that I don't, I don't get distracted by that and feel insignificant or feel like I don't have enough or discontent, because fear produces discontentment as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then my husband can go and scroll and see endless things. Practically naked women and beautiful women and filtered women and all the things. And so it's like there's everything coming at a woman, society, what society deems beautiful or feminine or should she be a homemaker? Should she be, in her career? And like we have a lot of military women and that's a beautiful thing. And there's just so much judgment. It's like you're judged if you're not a mother, you're judged if you are a mother, you're judged if you're single, you're judged if you're married. It's like there's endless amounts. The world just wants to judge women. And so all of that comes down to the fear that sometimes we're not even conscious is playing, but it's impacting the weight that we feel on our shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really interesting. As society continues to progress, it feels like women just continue to fall under more and more attack. And even, you look at how far society has come and yet look at all of the, I remember I had a friend who was a model in LA and she married a bunch of my buddies and she told me.
She married a bunch of buddies? What's going
she
on
married
here?
My buddy
okay.
and they all are friends, right? So thank you for the clarification of that. She didn't marry a bunch of my buddies. She married my buddy Alexi, who was best buddies with my other friend, Nate. And Jennifer was telling me that, when she was modeling and she was going to become the guest girl, okay, so like guest has a girl every year. Well, in order to become the guest girl, she had to sleep with the CEO. And she got into a room and he said, hey, I can make you the guest girl. It's my choice. And then he said, you just do a few things for me and let's step in here and all this kind of stuff. And Jen said, I can't do it, won't do it. And then a few weeks later, she saw the new guest girl on the billboard and she knew what that girl had to do in order to become that person. And this is in 2010. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, look at where our society has gotten to. And yet even still, people are being sold for sex. Services are being sold for sex and the demeaning nature of that. And you're just like, man, And even as we continue to develop, it just feels like in any society, as they continue to go, the enemy hates women. He hates that they have the ability to birth and to bring forth life, that they are life creators, and he hates life. And so I think you, if you're listening to this and you're a man, you need to gain an understanding that the devil hates your wife and he wants to absolutely destroy her because she carries the ability to produce life inside of her, which he cannot stand.
Yeah. He can only replicate things. And so that's why we see this replication of science, of being able to, you know, try and take that into our own hands and be our own gods.
And be our own gods.
If when we can try and, quote, take over reproduction, you know, then we can discount God even more. And so you just—
And become our own gods.
Yeah, and just so we can just look at that. Like back in the garden in Genesis 3, she was attacked. Mm-hmm. And it's been an attack ever since.
Yeah.
And there's nothing new under the sun. The attacks back then are the same as the attacks today. They might look different, but just like the woman is attacked, the man is attacked.
Yeah.
And so as women, I kind of want to put this in your court. Like, what do you want to share that we need to be cognizant of?
Yeah. I think a lot of men's fears come around performance. You know, in the military, everything is evaluated. And so you have a lot of, you know, guys that are going, you know, to the Q course and going to selection, and they have to pass all these tests, countless tests in order to become, you know, special forces, in order to pass air assault school. You know, there's all these tests. And I think when you're being evaluated so often and there's all these different, you know, opportunities in front of you, it's, am I enough? Will I ever be enough? And that's probably where I struggle, you know, in our, you know, my work and in the ministry and my role in it is, am I providing enough? Am I doing enough? It's always that enough kind of question. And am I leading enough? Am I being effective enough? And so I think that's a fear that I consistently have, and just being terrified that I'm not enough. John Eldridge just makes it, you know, abundantly clear about how men are just being terrified of being a fraud. They're terrified of being found out that they're actually a fraud. And how much of life is you pushing and selling yourself and questioning, am I enough? But then, you know, being tested and hoping that you're enough. It's something that I fear a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'd say that's pretty common for a man to feel that pressure.
Yep.
I'd say it's not isolated to men. I definitely know a lot of women that they just, that's an identity attack from the enemy.
Yeah.
That we're not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, it's, there's only one that is enough.
Yep.
You know?
It's Jesus.
Yeah. And I think it makes me think of our military women and how they're on top of all the other stuff about being a woman and a wife and,
yeah,
and a mother and all the things. Now they have the evaluation of the military on top of that.
Yeah. And being treated like a man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they have the pressure of the man. And the pressure of the woman.
Yep.
And I love it in the book. This is in the Power of Praying Husband book.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read a little excerpt because I just love that. Because there could be a man thinking like, you're not talking about my wife. My wife is a beast. She's so strong. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, she's a tough cookie. She's not like a typical woman. It's like, yeah, I've been there too.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really, really strong.
And. Yeah.
As I read these words, you know, it's taken me a while to accept this because I had to be strong.
Mm.
And so I resented the fragileness of how God designed the woman to be. So anyways, I'm going to read this. It says, too often women carry burdens in their lives that are far heavier than the delicate shoulders were created to bear.
Mm.
Remember, no matter how strong your wife appears to be, she is fragile. Even though a woman may appear strong to the point of hardness, it's usually because she felt she had to be for one reason or another. Ask God to show you whether your wife is carrying something she shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, yeah, that's delicate shoulders.
Right.
You
wouldn't have received that 10 years ago.
When I was having to carry all that weight, I was proud of those hardened shoulders and that hardened heart. And I was strong like a man. And it's just like, we can perform.
Yeah.
Women are so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And also, what can be released in marriage mm-hmm. through prayer.
Yeah.
That we weren't designed to carry. Obviously, for our job, we do what we need to do.
Yeah, I think it's a tough balance because women have been called into combat to defend their homes throughout history. I mean, it's happened thousands of times where villages are being taken and women have taken up arms to fight, right? And, you know, I remember where I was at a specific base and I was there and I was telling my story and doing some ministry. And I remember there was a female lieutenant colonel who was the commander. She was the boss. And she sat in on my training and she had to excuse herself and leave. And after I was done, I went to her office and I held her while she sobbed as she was dealing with the death of people that had died under her command. You know what I'm saying? And it's just kind of like, there is a sensitive nature to a woman. Let's just say it. And a woman can sack up and put rounds down range and do all the things, right? But we also need to understand that there's a sensitivity to all this. There's a David-like sensitivity to a man. Mm-hmm. I've seen so many men cry, strong men that have cried and had, you know, like humans in general are frail. And are weak individuals. And we get, you know, as we get older, our bodies get weaker. And there's just a nature to this where we all need to get in tune with, you know, the weakness that's in all of us.
Oh, 100%.
I remember when my dad was dying of cancer, he became the gentlest form of himself. A man who was a beast, you know, angry man when I was growing up, you know? And it's like everyone is going to soften. Everyone is going to change. And the military may harden you, but there's still a sensitivity that's within every person. And I think that even with the women in the military, we need to recognize that there is a sensitivity there while they are still capable of doing so many
amazing things.
Amazing and strong things.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And I think that goes back to, it says his yoke is easy and his burden is light.
Right.
And it's not that he doesn't call us to do hard things. Mm-hmm. The walk of faith is very hard, and it calls us to the ends of ourselves and like to surrender and to lay down so much. But when we do it with him, when you understand our design, when we stop being hardened and are able to accept our limitations and our weaknesses and go at it together, leaning on each other's strengths, you know, where I'm weak, you're strong, where you're weak, I'm strong.
Yeah.
And going together, laying the burden of that on Christ, listening for the Holy Spirit's guidance on, do I have too much on my plate and how do I navigate that? Which open doors are you, Lord, and close the ones? And we really do it in partnership with him. The burden seems to get lighter.
Yeah. You know, and we're in a day and age right now where, and we talk about this all the time, there are so many fears that are attacking us. Yeah. And God's word says he has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us power, love, and a sound mind. And so, you know, right now, crisis at the border, 3,000 unknowns coming through every single day. That's terrifying. You know what I'm saying? Iran launching their first ever, you know, state endorsed attack on Israel taking place. That's terrifying for the world and what the implications are there. You know, the advancement of technology, where artificial intelligence is going, where robots are going.
Where inflation is going.
These are very real fears, right? Mm-hmm. That are coming against us on a consistent basis. And the more we're, you know, the technology increases, the more access that we are going to have two things that can terrify us. And I heard this term that I completely agree with at Bible study last week, and it's fear porn. We are seeing on a constant basis through the news, through technology, Twitter, all this kind of stuff, fear porn. And it is stuff that is trying to get your attention and take your eyes off Jesus and to hit you with fear. And so, Rachel, what are we doing in our home? What are the conversations like that we're having of how we're navigating what is a very scary time to be alive?
Yeah, I think fear porn is a very real thing, and we have to turn off the news and turn on our Bible if it's on our phone,
yeah.
The Bible app, And we have to understand what does it say, because it's relevant today. It literally talks about the times that we're in and how to navigate that. And the hope that we get to have as believers when things are scary, when evil is on the prowl, when it seems to be, you know, around every corner here, now, at home and yeah. abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really, we check ourselves. I know when I'm on my phone, you're like, what are you doing? Are you scrolling? What's going on?
What are you thinking about?
Yep.
What are you putting in your mind?
Yep. And same thing. What are you doing? And it's not that, because as spouses, we kind of got to be careful that we're not, totally micromanaging the other's use. There's accountability. Like, I am accountable for my scrolling, and I'm accountable for what I consume, as are you. But it's just that check-in. Like, hey, checking in. If, you know, the other day, I hadn't gotten in my Bible, and you could tell.
Yeah, you were so off.
Because it changes us,
yep.
and it gives us this confident reassurance. And so, you know, it was bath time with Benaiah, so I'd gone all day, not in the scripture, and yeah. I felt different. But you identified it, because through praying for me every single day, you've become more and more attuned. And so you could pick up on that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that we do, is we just check in with each other.
Where are you at? How are you doing with God?
Have you been in the Bible? And so, all I did was I just went on and I read a chapter of a verse that you had sent me. And I mean, I felt lighter.
Yeah. First of all, the word is going to be the nutrients that our soul needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to feed us. But also the word of God is his very sustenance, and it feeds faith. And so where we want to wrap up this message today and this time talking is that the more that you are closer to God, the more that you are going to walk with him, the more faith you're going to have in your life. And you can use fear as a barometer.
Mm.
Fear, then And the presence of fear in your life will be the indicator showing you how close you are to God and how thriving your relationship is with him. And in your marriage, if you see one your partner struggling with fear, check in with them on their faith. How you doing? And it doesn't have to be with a condemnation. It can just be like, hey, should we pray about this? How are you doing? How's your faith? Are we trusting mm-hmm. God right now? Because that is going to be the indicator as to where our faith is at, is how we are battling fear.
Yes. Yes. And fear is tricky. It doesn't always show up it doesn't show up as I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Fear can be, I'm agitated. I'm worrying about something. Mm-hmm. I'm anticipating, you know, future disaster, or I'm just stressed.
Yeah.
A lot of time, or I'm just angry. I'm just moody.
Or you get worked up about something that has nothing to do with
yeah.
what you're afraid of.
That's fear. At the root, that is fear. So identifying fear is, it masks itself as a lot of other traits we don't love.
Yeah.
So we could easily write off, like, I'm not scared, you know, I'm not fearful, but it's like, have you been angry? Have you been on edge? Have you been worried? Have you been, you know, all these other things indicate that there is a root of fear happening. And so yeah. it's like, which wolf are you going to feed?
Yeah.
The wolf of fear?
Or the wolf of faith?
Or faith. And you feed it through where your attention, where your focus is, because where your focus goes, your faith will follow.
Mm.
So if your focus is down, if it's scrolling, if it's on the news, if it's on your bank account, and you're like, oh my God, if it's downward and fear-based, your faith is going to be low.
Yeah.
And you'll feel that.
So we want to encourage you guys today in wrapping this up, that the way that you can really check in on your spouse and where they're at in their faith is how fear is showing up for them. But then also growing in intimacy through prayer and understanding is how you're going to be able to grow into a deeper relationship with your spouse in understanding what their fears are. And so we love you guys. We're here to support you. We want to deposit faith into your life so that you can overcome the fears that are attacking you, both of fears in your marriage, fears of not being enough, fears of what your spouse may be dealing with, or fears that you are being tested with on a daily basis based on your career or wherever God's taking you. and to know that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, and that there's nothing you cannot overcome with him and through him. We love you guys. We'd like to ask you to please subscribe, like this podcast, share it with people, help us grow it so we can reach more military veterans and their families across the country, and we'll see you soon.